We're in Genesis chapter 26.
We're going to back up just a little bit
and look at a couple of characters. Then we're going to look at Isaac again. Now, we saw from a while back when we were together, Isaac and Esau, Isaac and then Esau and Jacob, how that when Jacob and Esau were born, they struggled together within their mother. And she was asking the question, why would it be like this? And the Lord had told her, there are two nations in your womb and two kinds of people. They shall be separated from your bowels. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And there were twins in her womb, and Esau was hairy and red. And yet he was later named Edom because he sold his birthright to Jacob for a red pottage. Now, Jacob was the supplanter, or you might say he was the schemer, the planner of the two. Esau was the hunter of the two. We have a real fast statement here that covers a lot of ground. It says, and the boys grew. In Genesis 25 and 27, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob a plain man, and he dwelt in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Esau, being an outdoors kind of a person, a hunter, and a person of the fields, his father tended more toward him. You remember when Rebekah came, she found Isaac out in the field. Isaac, a man who would have loved the outdoors, tended toward Esau, who was a lover of the outdoors, and of course Rebekah would have tended toward the son, who was more of a homebody, and that's what Jacob was. And Jacob, being the schemer that he was, he had made some pottage, and Esau comes from the field one day from hunting, and he was faint, and he said to Jacob, feed me, I pray you, with that red pottage, for I am faint. And it says that his name was called Edom, or Red. Esau now, it tells us in the New Testament, despises his birthright. Jacob said, tell me this day your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point of dying. What profit shall my birthright do for me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau here proved that he didn't care anything about his birthright. He despised it. He accounted it as something of little worth. But Jacob, of course, realizing what a birthright was worth, that the firstborn was to receive a double portion. The firstborn received the biggest blessing, if you will. And Jacob wanted to steal this from Esau, and he does this. Of course, Esau comes in from hunting, and he says, I'm about to starve to death, and what good is my birthright for me if I die? Well, I can't say for sure, but my guess would be Esau wasn't exactly about to die, but he'd probably been out on a long hunt, and he was tired, and he was hungry, and Jacob makes a deal with him to sell his birthright. Well, again, as we said, Esau despises his birthright here. And, you know, even though he sought to get that back with long tears and crying, it was not possible for him to be renewed to that birthright. And this was a portion that was promised by God, or it was something that God's people gave to their children. And Esau despised this. Well, as we look at chapter 26 and verse 1, there's a famine again. And it says there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, to Gerar. The Lord appeared to him and said, don't go into Egypt, dwell in the land that I tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the earth which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Now, a famine comes back up, and we're going to be looking back at chapter 20 and 21 at the famine that had been in the days of Abraham. And it's not a great coincidence, but we're going to see that Isaac goes to the same man that Abraham went to, tells the same lie that Abraham had told. And he's going to get some of the same results that Abraham got from this man and his people. So he goes down to Gerar to stay. And God speaks to him and gives him the promise that he had given to Abraham, his father. I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give to your seed all these countries. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, it says. Now God had spoken this concerning Abraham in Genesis 18:17-19, that he was one who was going to hear what God had to say, who was going to raise his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and who was going to follow what God had. Now he says, because of Abraham, I'm continuing my promises to your seed. So Isaac obeys God, and he stays in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him about his wife, and he said, she's my sister, for he feared to say she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, for she was fair to look upon. Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of Philistines, looked out a window, and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Here's the name that's so familiar, Abimelech, king of Gerar, king of the Philistines. If we go back to Genesis chapter 20 and verse 2, start at verse 1, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. Same place Abraham had went to, in the same situation of a drought. He goes down and he stays in Gerar, and here's what Abraham does. He says of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now, what is so wrong with this? What is so familiar about this? The same lie has been told to the same man about the same situation. You know, there's a lot of times in our families that we pass the sins of the fathers down to the children and to the children's children. Whenever we begin to, there's some great sin that's in our life, it tends to go on into our children. And it goes on into their children. And it's like a pattern that has been set in our lives. And whenever we do these things, they pass on down and they're continued in our families. This is one reason it's so important, and I'm saying this also for myself as well as everybody. It is so important that we break these patterns of sin that we have in our life from either from history, things that we see in our fathers, that we have the same thing, that we pray to the Lord and ask Him to help us with these things, whether it's lying, cheating, stealing, anger, whatever that sin may be. It's important that we turn this over to the Lord and allow Him to deal with it and take care of it, because we will see it in our children and we will see it in our grandchildren if we do not allow God to deal with these things. And sad, but true. And here we see Abraham and the sin he's committing passed down and passed to his children and to their children. And this lie which Abraham told to the king of Gerar, now Isaac goes and tells the same lie. Well, he said, she is my sister, because he was afraid the men of the city would kill him for her. And the king of the Philistines had looked out the window, and he saw Isaac sporting with Rebekah, as he says. She was his wife, of course, and this was expected. But these people didn't know who she was. Suddenly the realization comes up to this king, to Abimelech. Hold it, this is that man's wife. And he knew enough to know what could have happened to him had one of his people laid with her. Abimelech said to him, verse 10, "What is this that you have done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us." And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. And he had possessions of flocks and of herds and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now, this is something to be noticed. He now becomes one who is blessed. He receives in 1 year 100-fold, 100 times what he would have ever gotten, normally, most likely, from a harvest. You know, you might get 20-fold, you might get 10-fold, you might double your crops, you might double your investment, but 100 times God has blessed him. And these people around him begin to see all this going on. Why are his fields doing so much better than ours? Why are his flocks doing so much better than ours? Here this stranger came down to live among us, and he's doing better than any of us. Of course they got envious. Of course they got jealous. Of course they didn't like it. And now when God's blessing is on him, these people begin to see it. And they begin to envy him. Well, of course, this is going to cause trouble for Isaac. He came down into a land to just stay a while. He didn't even belong there. At least not in these people's eyes. And now God has blessed him beyond all things that he should have ever been blessed as far as they was concerned. So the envy begins. Now, let's see here. All the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Now, the days of Abraham, when he had dug the wells when he was here, the Philistines had filled these wells up with dirt and stopped them up. And now we're going to see that he begins to dig some of these wells back up. Of course, the Philistines don't like him. Even Abimelech, the king, comes to him and says to him, "Isaac, go from us, for you're much mightier than we." We're going to stop here and pick up the next time. We see the Philistines envying him because of the blessing of God. We see Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, asking him to leave because of the blessing of God. And we're going to see Isaac leaving the next time. This has been Jeff Buckles of the Two Roads of Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff. And thank you for listening. Join us each weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock, the Two Roads, Two Destinies Radio Ministry, the Bible Study Program. Any questions or comments, write us at 0 box 689.